Luke's version of part of the Sermon on the Mount. And this is what it says. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. From him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. I live in an environment that this is challenged. I don't want to, you know, make it sound too bad, but I give, and I give, and I give, and nothing seems to come back. I feel used. This has nothing to do with one end. Don't make the wrong association. It has something to do with one end, because the reason I was having difficulty with Jesus is I said, I have tried this. I have tried to be that way, and I am an unusual failure, you know. As a matter of fact, I may be getting worse, you know. And the bad thing is, Juanine does it by nature, you know. I said, that's not fair, you know. I struggle with this thing, and she just, that's the way she is. And so it didn't seem fair at all to me. I said, why don't we solve it like this? I said, why don't you just come in, all of you and none of me. That, I think that would take care of it, because that's the way you are. But I'm not. It's like Bob Mumford said, the Lord said to him, Bob, you and I are incompatible, and I don't change. So that's somewhat the way I was feeling that morning. And he said, so you want to be like me? I said, yeah, I really do. Wouldn't that be neat, really? Be like me? And then he said, have you really considered what kind of day I had? He said, you are concerned about retirement. I didn't have any place to lay down. He said, you're worried about what people think of you. And he said, they were constantly criticizing me and calling me names. Call me crazy. They call me a demon. They call me all kinds of things. He said, haven't you read Isaiah 53? Is that really what you want? Despised and rejected by men? I said, no, I guess I really don't. A moment of insanity. I really do not want to be like you. He said, do you, and this really got me, he said, you want to be perfect? And I thought about that, and I said, yeah, I really do. And that's when he made this statement that really caused me to stop. He said, well, you can't, but you are. Does that sound like God? You can't, but you are. Well, I was mulling that over when he made another statement. He said, you know, Dan, you know, we were really talking. I mean, that's a rare moment for me to have Jesus like that. But he said, you're doing okay with you, with me and you. He said, you're okay in that area. He said, how are you doing with you and me? I don't know about you, but that really stopped me in my tracks, because I kept thinking, what is that? You know, what does that look like? What does that feel like? Is he saying he's not in me? I don't think so. You see, when you stop and think about it, with Jesus in you, he goes where you go, right? With you in him, you go where he goes. And the other thing was, and I want to make sure I'm sensitive to time, the other thing was, accepting Jesus in your heart, that for me was a no-brainer, you know. I had been softened up by watching people who had received the Holy Spirit, who were just so full of love, it just kind of flowed out. And they were doing all the things that I really, as a church leader, was trying to get people to do. And I didn't even talk to them, and here they're doing that. Loving, giving, caring people. And so I saw that, and inside I wanted that. And so when the lady said to me, don't you want everything God has for you? I said, yeah, I do. And she said, well, just pray. Ask him into your heart. Bam. You know, he came in. I don't know that I even had any faith, to tell you the truth. I just simply asked, and he and his grace just came in. And I was changed, you know, from that time on. I never have recovered from that. So I said, what does that really mean? Me in you. Well, that led to kind of a journey, and I want to take you on that just very briefly. I can't touch on it the way you know I would like to. But before we start on this, I want to pray with you. And this is not some perfunctory prayer that you just normally do. We need help. I need help. You need help. Because when you get into some of these areas, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're just, you know, you're wasting your time. I learned this, you know, with the kids at Hillcrest. I was starting to teach them the book of Ephesians. As you know, that's not a shallow book. That's pretty heavy stuff. I had 5th to 12th grade, 150 kids in this auditorium, and I did illustrate all of my sermons, my messages. And they enjoyed it, and it worked with them, okay? But when we started on that, I thought, man, we're going to need these kids, which I used to refer to them as hardened criminals. I said, these kids really need softening up. So we prayed what Paul talked about. He said, I pray that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And you know what? They believed that, and we prayed that, and it worked. I mean, they got it. Whew, I got it, you know. Well, Paul has said that same thing. Fill us with an understanding of your will. You know, let us know what your will is. And so that's what I'm going to pray over you right now. Father God, you're so good. My goodness, you are so good. You're so kind and giving and gracious. And Lord, we want to find out more about you, all of us. Lord, you put a hunger in us that it just seemed like it can't be satisfied. And yet when we come, as we do on these Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, Lord, it's just overwhelming to us. And we want more. Lord, this morning, we recognize that the things that you say to us from the Word of God, they need your Holy Spirit, Lord. We need your Spirit to give us wisdom and revelation. And by faith, God, we just open our hearts and our minds, and we receive everything that you are saying to us this morning. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. The first stop he led me on was Moses. You know, you've heard a lot about Moses and his defining moment. He had, you know the story very well. They had come to a certain place. This is in Exodus 33 and 34. And God made the announcement. He said, I can't go with you anymore. I am not going. Because if I did, I'd destroy you. I'd burn you up just like that because you're so rebellious. And Moses said, well, I have an announcement too. You don't go, I don't go. And that touched God's heart. It really did. And he said, you found my grace. There's only one other place, I think, in the Old Testament, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. That's something when you look into God's eyes and you say, I see grace. That's a revelation right there. You found grace in my eyes, and I know you by name. Isn't that neat? When he says, Gino, I've got something to say to you. Yes, yes, Lord. You know me by name. And he said, I'll go with you. Well, if I had been there, I would have said, hallelujah, let's go, you know. Moses said, I have something else. If I'd have been there, I said, shut up, Moses. You got his okay. Just cool it. He said, I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory. Well, that's all right. I mean, that's spiritual fireworks, I call it. But it doesn't last, you know, boom, because it couldn't last. You'd burn up. And besides that, you could go out on a starry night and look up at the skies and see his glory. You know, I thank God for the Hubble. They've just improved it. It's gone even further out. The scientist's conclusion is there is no end to the universe. See, we could have told them that a long time ago, because it's a picture of God, isn't it? No end. He's infinite. Beautiful. I mean, the pictures, you've seen them coming back from outer space. Phenomenal. And they try to explain that with gases, and it's ridiculous. But anyway, Moses was asking for that spur of the moment, bang, you know. You notice what God said. I'm going to cause all my goodness to pass before you. All of his goodness. He said, you can't handle it. He said, here's the plan. You can't handle it by yourself. Here's what we're going to do. He said, I want you to get up in the morning early. You think you can set your alarm and, you know, meet me on the mountain? Yes. Well, he said, I want you to stand on the rock. Stand on the rock beside me. I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. Now, cover you with my hand, and my goodness will come by. Well, as you probably know, the rock is identified in 1 Corinthians 10:4. He says it very plainly, the rock was Christ. You see what God's doing? He's putting Moses in the rock. Moses knew who the rock was. I can see him snuggled in there now saying, wow, this is a different kind of rock. I think I hear a heartbeat. Whoa, I feel so warm and protected. And that's exactly what he was, protected. Because God is saying to him, you can't stand my goodness without protection. It's just overwhelming. That's the goodness of God. I did research, you know, I tried to find out what is he talking about? Goodness of God. Because you remember Jesus said, there's none that's good. Jesus said that, except my Father. Well, folks, that good is a very special thing. And I really didn't see it till this morning. And I want to cover that with you later. But anyway, just understand that Moses knew what it was like to be in Jesus. Got that? Okay, the next step was in David in Psalm 91. Again, a very familiar scripture. Why don't you go ahead and put that one up, first two verses of 91. He who dwells, lives, stays, in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, live, dwell, stay, under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. In him I will trust. He goes on to talk about the fortress and the refuge. The refuge for us is very, very important because when Joshua was setting up cities of refuge, he did it on both sides of the Jordan. That's how important they are, because we do dumb things, you know. Those were cities where they could run and be safe, you know. We need a place of refuge. And what he's saying is, he who comes in to my refuge, I will protect them. They'll be under the shadow of my wings. If you've been on a farm and watched a mother hen with her chickens, boy, when it starts to rain or snow, those chickens know where to go. And that mom, that chicken, that hen will fight to her death to protect those under her wings. And then he makes some things that says, because you set your heart on me, because you set your heart on me, I will deliver you and promote you. I will set you on high. That's because you set your heart on him. Put first the kingdom and all these things will be added. Amen? But you set your heart on me and I will promote you. We read that, but most people don't believe that. I'm here to tell you it's true. It's true. Very young age. And the last time I spoke, I tried to tell you God took a foolish thing. And because he put his heart in the Lord at an early age and kept it there, he's given me some incredible positions to this very day. I mean, it just goes on. But I'm preaching to the choir. You guys know that too. Because he knows my name. Now, that's a brain twister, because he knows my name. What name? You know, look on the internet. You can see probably 50 names of God because he knows my name. I've always said, well, what do you need? He knew I needed to call him Papa. And that's what I call him, because my grandkids were calling me Papa, and I could understand love, a deeper love that way. So from now on, I found out in several places, he said, I put my spirit into you, Dan, so that you would say Papa or Abba. I'll give you scriptures on that if you want. Or you can buy the Picture Smart Bible. Excuse me for that plug. He says, because, now let's get this, because you have made me your dwelling place. You made me your dwelling place. Does that sound like in him? Yeah, made me your dwelling place. No evil will come near you. You can stomp on the snakes and the lions. You got control over them. I will give my angels orders. You take care of Rob. Don't let him stump his toe, because he probably would. But you watch out over him. You lift him up. You bear him up with your hands if necessary. All of that because we have accepted his invitation. And that's what I call this, the invitation. Because you have accepted the invitation to come in. He then took me to Paul. Took me three places. To Moses, David, and Paul. Paul uses the word a lot in Colossians, especially, in him. In him. So that's where I wanted to find. I wanted to go to find out. Now, the New Testament writers, you have discovered, they shifted things. Because in the Old Testament, the mentality, it was God, Jehovah God. And when the New Testament writers came along, and they had been so impacted by Jesus and saw who he was, they made that shift. And so John, you remember, said, the Word was with God, the Word was God. Boom, just right there in your face, the Word was God. And then Paul comes along and says, Jesus is all you will ever see of God. That he's it. And the Hebrew writer says the same kind of thing. The image, the spitting image of God. That's who Jesus was. So they've made this shift. It's all about Jesus. Now, Paul continues in the book of Colossians, and I want you to just catch a few of the things he says about Jesus, because this is really important. If you're going to be in him, you need to know who he is, right? Because everything he is, from now on, you are. I know we hear that said, and it's hard to get a hold of. Get a hold of it. See, we prayed for the Spirit to help you do that. So we're getting a hold of this. He's the firstborn over all creation. I mean, that was especially important to me, because he is the new species. The new man, he's called, the new man. And when I stopped to think about what kind of man is this? He brought me right back to my starting point. Love your enemies. He goes on to describe this man, this new man. That's who I am. See, that's why there's such a hunger in me to be that. I'm fighting it like crazy. I mean, what I just described to you was really very harsh words to Jesus, because I was fed up with it. I said, I can't be that. Why have you put it there and said, if you've got ears to hear, I'm hearing you. Why can't I be that? And he's telling me how. Okay, so bear with me. Firstborn over all creation. By him, all things were created. All things. You know, Genesis says, in the beginning, God. John says, in the beginning, Jesus, the Word. He's the head of everything. He's it. He controls it all. Doesn't look like it. As the Hebrew writer says, we don't yet see everything under his control, but what? We see Jesus. When you see him, you got, you know, that assurance comes. Chris was talking about, you know, Psalm 2, how much assurance that gives her, because what it says is, he's in control. I don't care whether it's Constantine or Napoleon or Obama or Trump. God's in control. That gives us so much comfort. So he said everything started in him. I mean, this blows your circuits, doesn't it? Everything started in Jesus. And he said, it's gone all over the place, but guess what? When the end comes? Now, we can get a picture of that, can't we? Because in Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians, he talks about being reconciled to God. He said, Jesus came so that we could be reconciled to God. And he does that, doesn't he? Well, he said, well, not only that, he put the ministry of reconciliation in you. And you know that's true. When you hear of a problem, what's your first thought? How can I fix this? Well, it doesn't take us long to realize we can't. But Jesus in us, he can. He can do that. Reconciler. He's the head of everything, including the church, including demons, principalities and powers. They think they're in charge. They are not. He's still in charge. Now then, I love this. Why don't you put up Colossians 1, 26? See, this gets at Dan's problem I started with. The mystery which has been hidden from the ages, from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. What in the world is that? To them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery. Keeps talking about mystery among the Gentiles, which is, here it is, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man what? Perfect in Christ. I mean, to me, it's just getting better all the time, because I'm beginning to see more about this one that I am in. Now, I said a while ago, I got a picture, finally, of the goodness of God. To me, this is it. What else? The song says, what else could he do? You know, he gave us Jesus. The one that we're celebrating right now, we're just discovering who he is, and all the time, more revelations coming, and about who this one is in whom we are. That is as good as it can get, see? Moses, I don't know how much of that he understood. I just know he was already in him, and I just know that when God walked by, he described himself. And you need to memorize that, by the way. I don't know whether I put it up a while ago, but he is merciful. And I do have a book, Picture Smart Bible, that shows you how to memorize that. I can't help it, Steve. Merciful and gracious. and long-suffering. I put a Band-Aid stretched out. That's what I do with this, is give you pictures so that you can memorize, because you need to memorize. Paul said it in Colossians. He said, let the word of God, what? Dwell richly in you. I think that's in quantity and quality. Let the word of God dwell richly in you. Just walk around being the word of God. Be the word incarnate. First response, bang, you get hit, word of God. Isn't that neat? See, you've got to get it inside for that to happen. But that's where you need to go. The reason, when I grow up, I want to be like Pastor Steve, is he's got the word so strong in him that, I mean, the guy just cuts with a two-edged sword. I'd say this if you weren't sitting there, probably more. But I really appreciate that. And so does everybody else, Pastor Steve. We appreciate the richness of God's word deposited in you and the revelation that he gives you and the hours that you spend on your knees. We really appreciate that. Anyway, I have concluded. I've lost the timer. I have included that there are three levels for me, being in him, okay? And I need to say, if you're further down the road than I am on this, and inside you're saying, oh, well, I knew that, you know, I'm further down the road than you, don't say that to me, okay? I want to think that I'm giving you revelation. So anyway, the first level for me is I'm there. 24/7, I'm there. Because he says in Colossians 2:6, he said, as you have received him, so what? Walk in him. In him. In other words, what I gather from this is when I received Jesus, he came in me and I went in him. As you receive Jesus, so walk in him. And he also says, you know, in 3:3, he says, your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's a done deal. That's what I'm saying. It's a done deal. The walk is every day. That's living it out. That's sometimes not so easy. But think of it this way. Think of it as kind of a capsule. You're in a capsule. Life is going like this. You're in this capsule. Because you're sitting there and, you know, behind the traffic, you have a choice. You know, you can go down to the bottom or you can say, I'm in Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. You know, I'm in him. I'm in this capsule. I like the way Lauren Cunningham referred to it, to the kingdom of God, I think, but applies to this. He said, you're on this big ship once you've accepted Jesus. Huge ship. And he said, it's going somewhere. And he said, if you'll just, you know, I guess like Leonardo, if you'll just go with the flow, you can really, really enjoy it. Now, you can say, I'm not going there, you know, and turn around and start walking this way, but guess what? The boat just keeps moving. Yeah. You're not really going anywhere. You think you are. I think he's probably made a lot of provision on the ship. You don't want to jump because there are sharks in the water. But I think he's made all kinds of provisions, possibly different churches on this big ship. Because he's a very loving, caring, giving, generous, gracious God. And so, if you don't like this one, you really could go to the other one, but you're still on the ship. Okay? You may have heard about the guy that was marooned on the island for years. And finally they found him. And so the media brought their reporters over, and they were tracking him on the island, letting him tell him about what he did and so forth. And they said, what's that shack? It was just bamboo poles and leaves. He said, well, that's where I live. That's where I sleep, I eat. That's where I live. And they said, well, what's that shack? He said, that's where I go to church. You'll find me there every Sunday morning, Wednesday night. I'm there. That's my church. And they said, well, what's that building over there? I said, well, that's where I used to go to church. Sometimes that's shallow, isn't it? Anyway, Paul said, therefore, you know, Paul's good at that. His therefore is not to earn points. It's because you've already come in, and he helps you. Paul helps you to see what God has provided. And he is saying, this is your reciprocal action. He's done so much. Why would you think you could just sit? Therefore, here are some things that you can do. And put on the new man, for one thing. Change your behavior. And he gives us several lists of things to do in the book of Colossians. Put on this new man, this Jesus. Do it every morning. Put him on. And then he said, because you have been raised, he said, seek those things which are above. Seek them. See, you've got to, it takes some effort. Seek those things that are above. Set your mind on things above and not on the earth. That requires some discipline, doesn't it? You know, and I'm a guy that has trouble sticking with the songs we're singing, you know. My mind just keeps going everywhere. He says, stop that. Set your mind, when you walk through the doors especially, set your mind on what you're singing, because it's good stuff. And Diane and Wes, all of them, they sing this so that you'll learn the Word of God, the love of God, and they sing it, if you noticed, over and over. That's not because they're trying to fill in time. That's so it will get stuck in you. Everywhere you go, you're singing Diane's songs or Valerie's songs. Praise God for that. Let it sink in. And look up. When you're singing a song, look up. Look beyond the lights and the air conditioning ducts, because he's up there. I was teaching my little ones one time, and I'll get on through this, about when Jesus fed the 5,000. I said, what did Jesus do first? Well, he told them, sit down. No. He talked to his apostles. No. What did he do first? So they went back and looked at him. They said, he looked up. Jesus looked up. And I tried to make a point with him. I said, your life is going to be really directed by what you see when you look up, who you see. And so I asked him, now these are this 5 and 8-year-old. I said, what do you see when you look up? And they closed their eyes and they looked up and they said, God. I said, really? And they said, yeah. What's he doing? He's smiling. I mean, that's way beyond most adults, right? I wish it was true all the time, you know. Look up. Seek those things above, not the things on the earth. Now, the King James Version, I think you said that the last time. Set your affections on God, on things above. I like that much better, because that I can understand that. See, when Jesus came into my heart, I totally fell in love with him. And you did too. I mean, you were just overwhelmed by his love. It just went all through you. And that's all you could think about, talk about. See, I would go to work, you know, draw pictures at work, but my affections were on him. And it showed so much, people would say, what happened to you? And I said, I don't know. I'd go in the bathroom, look in the mirror, try to see what they were seeing. I couldn't see it, but I knew where my affections were. 3 months after we were married, I was drafted into the Army. I spent a year and a half, you know, on the backside of Germany, digging foxholes and all that other junk. Getting screamed at a lot. And you know how I endured that? My affections were on this woman in Oklahoma. I couldn't help it, you know? Set your affections on things above, where he is sitting beside the Father. It doesn't get better all the time who he is. I mean, if not, feel your pulse, you may be dead. There are enemies. There are enemies of affection, and he talks about those. One is he talks about the sexual, unholy sexual things, you know, fornication, passion that's wrong. All those false intimacies, I call them, can steer you away from the intimacy with Jesus. They have a way of robbing you of the intensity of being in him. So he said, kill your members. He's not talking about Becky or somebody. He said, kill the members. I'm sorry, I just picked you up. Everybody loves you. That's why I did that. He says you're dead to them, and then he says die to them. Because it's a continual thing. And then he says, beware of the tradition, religion, and the principles of the world. You know, religion says you got to pray more. You can't, he won't love you until you start praying more. More, and you can't. You're discovering that. And the principles of, if you'll notice, of the world is there's never a price tag. You know, just do it. Isn't that true? Well, there is a price tag, and it affects your intimacy with God. Okay, so the one is you're there. You're there in him. And the other one is what I call, and I think Pastor Steve referred to it, as the morning fix. I cannot get by without that. And God seems to like early. I don't know whether you noticed that or not, but it's a sacrifice. And if I remember correctly, in Romans it says, present your bodies a living cream puff. No, a living sacrifice. A sacrifice. So getting up early, yeah, it's hard, but you'll get over it. You'll live. It takes time. Some of the ways you can kind of, as he used to say in Oklahoma, prime the pump, is start quoting the scriptures. Because when you start quoting the scriptures, it kind of wakes up your soul. You can sit there and just, you know, feel sorry for yourself and go back to sleep. Or you can start reading the scriptures. Now, that the Word of God is so powerful, you can't resist that. And when David says, you know, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, do it. Just do it. And do let the word dwell in you richly. You know, he says, speaking to one another in psalms. Just go through your Bible and highlight where the songs are. Start singing them. Hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and pray in the Spirit. Just keep going. Keep going with that. You're going to sometimes hear groans. You're going to feel hugs. I have some of my best times on Tuesday morning when I am on the freeway at 4:30. There's hardly anybody on the freeway, and I mean I cut loose with God. Nobody can hear me, and I mean I am just, well, you know, every high-powered motor needs blowing out the carburetor, right? And I mean, I blow out the carburetor because I know that nobody's going to hear me. And I just start praying in the Spirit, and I start singing in the Spirit, and I mean, I just get lost in him. And he comes along. Sometimes I am groaning. I mean, I'm holding that steering. Oh, you know, I'm thinking, let go. I'm going to go off the freeway. But he doesn't. He knows what he's doing. I used to somehow just kind of look at the big policeman, Pastor Charles, you know, because he like that. And I think, what's he doing? I do it now, you know. I do it. And I feel his hugs, you know. You know, when you speak mysteries, those are love notes between you and God. And I don't care where you do it, whether it's in the car on the freeway or in a park at night. I don't care where you do it. Just let go with God. Just start praying and singing in the Spirit and just see where He goes. Now, with all of that, I may not have gotten the invitation, and I got to close with this. But let me just go real quickly to the Song of Psalms, because Rod gave me a great idea. Read that in the Amplified. And let me ask you to do this. Underline the places where Solomon or Jesus is talking to the Shulamite, which is you. You know, she said, I'm not worthy to look at me. Shut up. You know, so you're sunburned. He doesn't really care. Just let him. He is passionately in love with you. You have to get that through your head. And let the words, your words spoken out loud, be His words spoken to you. It's more than personalizing the Bible. It's He's using your first name. He knows you by name, and He's given you grace, and He will say, come away. I mean, that's what you're waiting on, is that invitation. Come away with me. I was getting ready, I think I mentioned this before, I was getting ready for a convention. I was in my motel room, and I had to leave. And I heard him say that. I'm running behind, and I got to leave. He said, come away with me. I mean, I knew He was there. Now, for me, His presence and His invitation is a gift. I can't do anything. I can't really tell you anything to do to get that invitation. I just know He wants you so bad. He really, really, really wants you. So as you're going through all that, just listen, because sooner or later, you're going to hear Him say, come. Everything stops. Everything. He's in control of time. He's in control of your life. He's in control, folks. You don't have to do anything except just shut up and stay in His presence. Let Him do the talking for once. Whew. Father, I just thank You so much for Your goodness in giving us Jesus. And Holy Spirit, we do ask that You take these words and more words and just help us to appreciate this Jesus that's in us and in whom we are. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters that they would find that time to worship You, to thank You, to just be with You. And Lord, I pray You would show them that invitation is worth waiting for. Oh, it's worth getting up for. It's worth anything when You say, come with me. Come away with me. I want to show You my love. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name. I'm going to start the